where there are electrons and ions, and these, they are interacting with the Coulomb interaction. The most important part is basically this many, the word many, and the many means that I have 10 to the 23 number of particles. So then, since we know Schrödinger equation, we can formally write down Schrödinger equation for many electrons and ions. For simplicity, let's focus on the electron O'Neill system. An electron has a kinetic term, of course, and Coulomb interaction. And then formally, we can write down Schrödinger equation. The problem of this equation is that we have too many particles. So then in general, we know we cannot solve this Schrödinger equation. But theorists usually do not give up and try to find some systems. And actually in nature, there are many systems which we can solve this Hamiltonian, this Schrödinger equation. So these are so-called weakly correlated systems. These systems can be described by this nice approximation. So many particle systems, we can approximate the system as a summation of individual particles. So this Hamiltonian, the original Hamiltonian is very complicated, but sometimes we can describe this Hamiltonian as a summation of individual Hamiltonian. So individual Hamiltonian has its own kinetic term and potential term. Then if this approximation is good, we can focus on each individual Hamiltonian, then we can solve this Schrödinger equation easily. Then total state and total energy is just the state, product state of the individual eigenstate, and total energy is the summation of the individual energy. And nice examples would be the free electron. Free electrons is natural because we don't have any Coulomb interaction, so we can ignore Coulomb interaction part. And the famous Kunsham equation, it also has these types of Kunsham equation can be described by this equation. It's basically a Kunsham equation. And this system is very, I mean, if the system is described by this approximation, then we can understand lots of things. Like the, people usually call this as a triumph in 20th century physics, mostly from density functional theory. So that we know gallium arsenide band structure very well. And another interesting example is the BCS superconductivity. Here I have two curves, one is red, and one is blue, and they are perfectly matched each other. So we understand this weakly correlated system very well. But that's not the end of the story, of course. There are many systems where this approximation does not work. So there is a catchphrase for such system. More is different by Phil Anderson, and these systems are called strongly correlated system. Famous example would be high TC superconductivity, spin liquid, fractional quantum bond. The bottom line of these systems is that Coulomb interaction is very important. So if Coulomb interaction is not important, we can just take this Hamiltonian and ignore this, and weakly correlated physics picture is works well. It's too easy, right? So here, these two areas, area means that weakly correlated systems and strongly correlated system can be described by two energy scales. One is a kinetic energy scale, and the other one is a Coulomb energy scale. So this is the kind of conventional condensed matter systems. But these days, what people found is that by adding spin-orbit coupling, within 10 years, people found there is a new phases, such as topological insulator. But still, in this area, it's basically a weakly correlated system. So our understanding within 10 years are very mature. Okay, so then it is quite obvious where we should look at next part. So this is the part I'm interested in, and some people are interested in. So here, so this region is that I have strong spin-orbit coupling and strong Coulomb interaction, and iridate is a very specific material which realize this physics, strong spin-orbit coupling and strong Coulomb interaction. Okay, so since we have this specific example, we can be more specific. So this phase diagram is basically a modification of Dima and Leon's phase diagram. And one of the goal of this talk is that to show that some exotic phases, such as quantum critical phase and baryosimide matter and topological insulators are possible in this everyday physics. Okay, so since we have specific example, let's try to look at this system a little more carefully. Iridate in condensed, iridate means that iridium atom as an oxide. Then each iridium atom in condensed matter system usually have this configuration. Iridium 4 plus means that in terms of electronic configuration, it's a 5d5. So first 5 means that it's a principal quantum number, and d is angular momentum, and the other 5 is electron number of electrons. So I have 5 electrons. And then it is, in a sense, obvious that this system has a strong spin-up coupling and Coulomb interaction because principal quantum number is 5. So it's a heavy atom. So relativistic factor is important. So spin-up coupling is strong. And I have d orbitals. D orbital means that angular momentum 2. So Coulomb interaction is expected to be strong. So without in vacuum, this d orbital has a full rotational symmetry. So I have 5 states, d equal 2, so I have 5 quantum states. But in condensed matter system, we usually break this full rotational symmetry. So usually it becomes a T2G and EG orbitals. And furthermore, we have strong spin-up coupling. So spin rotation symmetry again broken. So T2G orbital usually have 6 states because I have 3 orbital state and 2 spin state. And this 6 state is split into J effective 3/2, J effective 1/2. So this is the final result. And then since I have 5 electrons, I can put 4 electrons here and remaining one is occupying this J effective 1/2 state. So this is this picture is the picture of one iridium atom. And since in condensed matter system, there are many iridium atoms, so one can easily see these iridates are usually half-filling system. Right? So this half-filling condition is gonna be important for later. Okay. These iridate systems can have lots of structures. These layered structure more famous, but in this talk, I'm gonna focus on particular structure. So this is a three-dimensional structure. So this is a pseudo two-dimensional structure. But in this talk, I'm gonna focus on three-dimensional structure. So what is pyrochore structure? So this is the figure you saw at the beginning of this talk. It looks complicated. The chemical formula for this pyrochore structure is A2B2O7. Since I'm interested in iridate material, so I'm gonna fix B as iridium. And A is a rare metal atoms. So this yellow possible candidate for A site. And one way to understand this complicated structure is that if I consider only A or B sublattice, it becomes this corner sharing tetrahedron. So here, if you look at this green dot, then this green dot forms the tetrahedron. And there are many tetrahedron, and this tetrahedron basically forms this corner sharing structure. So A and B are also equivalent. So basically, it's a slightly shift gives this structure. So they are equivalent. Okay. So instead of telling you more details of the system, I'm going to summarize the necessary information for this talk. So important information is that this system has cubic symmetry. Of course, this, as you can see, this is a cubic system. So cubic symmetry is important. And also, time reversal symmetry is very important. So I'm gonna focus on the paramagnetic phase. So I don't wanna break the time reversal symmetry. And because it's iridate, as I mentioned before, it has a strong spin-up coupling. And it is a half-filled system. So there is a sublattice structure. So sublattice structure means that I have this tetrahedron. So and also it's a half-filling system, as I mentioned before. So in principle, it can be an insulator because of this sublattice structure. Right, so then with this information, the first thing I can do is try to look at possible states with these symmetries. And we can try to look up a group theory book, like Tinkham's book, And this is a representation of quantum states with this information. So this is the character table. Details are not important, but there is one thing I want to emphasize. There is this gamma 8 representation. This gamma 8 has a four state. As we learn in quantum states, quantum mechanics, usually in quantum mechanics, once we have a degenerate state, there is a level dispersion. But if we have cubic symmetry and time reverse symmetry, and we can have four degenerate state by this protection of from these symmetries. So this state is going to be important for this talk. Okay. So then the general question, or the question I would like to address is the what are the possible phases in particle iridase? I will not try to classify all possible phases in particle iridase. Instead of that, I'm going to guess possible phases or realizable phases in particle iridase. So this question is, in a sense, connected to the one of the most useful perspectives in physics or theoretical physics. So it is called split car horse in a vacuum. Physicists, or at least myself, cannot describe this handsome horse. Instead of this, we usually try to approximate this horse as a sphere with some characteristics. And then after understanding this system, we try to add a little more details. So these questions about phase is basically like this. So in real system, it's very complicated. But so the first step we should do is that try to understand possible phases first. And after understanding the phases, we can add some other energy scales and try to see details of the system. Yes. Yes.
So where is the
difficulty? That's a good question. So I'm going to show you some band structure calculation. First of all, qualitatively, DFT cannot capture the non-fermi liquid because it's always the quasi particles in DFT is very well defined. One of the phases I'm interested in is the non-fermi liquid phase.
But presumably it's good at describing other phases, right?
Like the band insulator, of course.
Well, semi-metal or something like that, right? Probably.
Yeah, bar semi-metal, yes. Yeah, DFT can capture bar semi-metal. So with this particle iridase, so I mentioned two symmetries, cubic and time reverse symmetry. So this non-fermi liquid is protected by these symmetries, cubic or time reverse symmetry. So if you start DFT calculation of this particle iridase without this symmetry, then DFT is, in a sense, we can trust DFT calculation. Right, question. But there are some issues. So in principle, we can trust, but in reality, it's very difficult to trust because even in DFT, there are lots of parameters. My colleagues tried to calculate DFT calculation in this system. There are several methods in DFT, of course. All the methods give different answers. Yes, so there is a, yes, that's the hope, first of all. But we can do better, actually. There are some experiments in this system, like RPS. Then we can compare this RPS data with one of these methods, and we can claim one of them is correct. At least. Okay. Question? So what is the possible phases? So then without doing any work, I think that's the best part as a theorist, so we can guess. Of course, it's possible to have band insulator because we have half-filling and sub-lattice structure, and metallic phase is always possible. But these are kind of conventional phases in a sense that we learn these phases in solid-state class, solid-state physics class. But what I hope is that maybe we can find some exotic phases such as non-Fermi liquid, topological insulator, and bisimmetric metal, and something else, maybe. Right, so now I need to do some work, actual work, but I don't need to start from scratch because I have many friends in experiments. So instead of telling you details of this experimental data, or details, I'm gonna summarize these experiments as one or two sentences. So here, what I present here is basically transport data, and this is also transport data. This is the ELI date, and what they did is they changed the A site, so praseodymium, neodymium, europium, so they changed the A site and they measure resistivity. So here what they did is they fix one atom, like the europium, so they pick europium, and then they try to change the doping. So red is 0.015, and green is 0.026. So here, as I mentioned before, I wanna focus on the parametric phase. So what people found is that whenever there is this kink, there are some associated magnetism in this. So this kink is basically from the magnetic phase transition. So these are basically phase diagram from this data. And it's sure.
The last slide, you said doping. Do
yes.
You mean doping or disorder? Because it's nominally European speed plus, right?
Right. It's good. So what they did is it's really hard to see, but so in terms of iridium, so if I only focus on iridium, so it's basically iridium europium mixing. So. Sorry? Oh, delta. So this is delta, but okay. So yeah, to be, yeah, so they cannot control delta either. So in this, to make this system, to grow the single crystal of the system, they are not sure oxygen vacancies. So delta might be also changed. Yes, but for the transport, this part is more important because this one is very localized and oxygen usually do not contribute to the Fermi energy level physics, and iridium is more important. Right. So then for the praseodymium, did I answer your question? Okay. For the praseodymium, bottom line is that it's neither a good metal nor a good insulator. So it looks like metallic system, but in terms of this number, it's not good metal at all. And if I focus on this one, if I change this 1% doping, as you can see, the resistivity drops a lot. So it's very sensitive to doping. Even 1% changes huge amount of resistivity. So it's in this sense, it's kind of critical. Okay, So this is the information, what I learned or what we can learn from experiments. Now we can do a little, we need to do a little serious, little more serious theoretical work. So the first step we should do is to try to calculate the band structure, of course. We can do type binding calculation. Jungbeck, Leon, and William did lots of calculation in this type binding calculation. And what they found is that in some region of coupling constant space, they found trivial band insulator. And also there is some DFT calculation. So one of the DFT calculations shows the metallic ground state. So this is the Fermi energy. And there is some pocket, hole pocket and electron pocket. Right, so type binding calculation, we don't need to worry about particular compound because it's just, what we need is a structure. and then we can tune the tuning parameter, hoping T, T prime. But for this one, yes, we fix, so this is a DFT calculation means that, so we fix like ytterbium or praseodymium and calculate this band structure. And then with one of the methods, gives us this metallic ground state.
Because so we only found the topological insulator in
Leon's calculation way back.
Yeah.
So I took this figure from the Leon's first paper with Dima. Not your paper. So here, I'm sorry.
So like you're putting the J3 half orbitals.
J3 half orbiter.
Yeah. Like Leon's paper.
Yeah, Leon's first paper. Yeah. So this.
Then they find this TI.
No, they only find this insulating phase. I mean, this is the literature, so we can discuss more later. So, I mean, yes, but they found trigger insulators. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yes. Okay, but from the experiments, what we know is that it's not a trivial insulator. Or band insulator. Maybe I should be careful when I say it's insulator. But it seems they show some types, some kind of metallic or some pseudo-metallic behavior. So maybe it's better to look at metallic phase a little more carefully, because you know in metallic phases there are lots of gamma-ray excitation. So some weird thing can happen. So let's try to look at metallic phase a little more carefully. In metallic phases, people believe, or some people believe, Coulomb interaction is rather weak, especially when we have large EF, this statement is okay. So because there is a Thomas Fermi screening effect, so one way to understand this, Thomas Fermi screening is to very naive estimation. So we can compare kinetic energy and Coulomb interaction energy. And for kinetic energy, we have very nice energy scale, EF. Coulomb interaction, we know is scaled as 1 over R. And at low energy physics, Coulomb interaction energy is always smaller than kinetic energy. So Coulomb interaction can be treated as a perturbation. But what happens if EF is tiny or even zero? So then we know this inequality should be reversed because zero is always smaller than finite positive non-zero number. So even though we are looking at the zero energy limit energy scale, Coulomb interaction is always bigger than zero EF. So in then, we can expect Coulomb interaction is very dominant, and maybe there are some exotic phases, maybe possible exotic phases. So we can expect that, or we can at least guess. So then one can ask, is it possible to have zero EF state? And in nature, there are many examples. Probably the most famous one is graphene. So at zero doping, but this is a two-dimensional system. Another example is mercury telluride. And the other example is this praseodymium iridium oxide. So this is the one method, LD plus MBJ. I agree. Dimensionality means yes.
In higher dimension,
yeah, so we need to be careful. So here, I strictly fix the dimension of as a three dimension. I agree, this is a very crude approximation. I'll do better job later in this talk. Okay. Right. Yeah, so in nature, there are many examples, and praseodymium iridium oxide, if we do band structure calculation with this method, then we get this zero EF state. Okay. I'm sorry? GGA? The other methods, you mean? Yeah, so GGA, I mean, in LDA, there are many methods. LDA, GGA, and LD plus MBJ. I'm not an expert on this, but she, the Lu Chen, Leon's one graduate student, tried many methods, and she found some. So with this method, this quadratic band touching band structure, but with other method, with another method, they found she found the metallic phase, as here, as in, as like this. But yeah, there are. But even in DFT calculation, there are many interesting tendency in each method. So this tendency is kind of universal. So it doesn't matter which method I'm using. So like the Fermi surface size. So we can do DFT calculation varying with A size atoms, and then we can try to measure how large this Fermi surface in each method. Then we can try to see what is the tendency. And this tendency is kind of universal. So it doesn't matter which methods I'm using. But for specific information like this, is there quadratic band touching or not? It depends on the method. So we need the experiment to confirm this. And
within a given method, how robust is the quadratic band touching?
Yes.
How robust?
So, what do you mean by how robust? So,
you think we have a theoretic present every day within this method LDA and BJ?
So,
change the parameters and still recover the quadratic band?
Uh-huh.
Maintain the quadratic band?
Yeah, so one method we are trying to do is that in the DFT calculation, we can tune the spin orbit coupling constant externally.
I'm asking about this one.
Right. So in this method, what we are trying to do is that try to tune the spin orbit coupling constant, and then
can tune or vary.
Okay. Tune. Yeah. Vary. Yeah. We try to vary this spin orbit coupling constant, and then we can say more about this variable effect. Okay.
No,
it's not.
It doesn't have to be there, right?
It doesn't have to be there, right? But it's basically similar to graphene. In graphene, if we tune the nearest neighbor and next nearest neighbor hopping, and this touching point doesn't need to be there. It can be metallic phases if T prime is much bigger than T. It's basically the same.
I think the Fermi level has to be there in this calculation.
What do you mean has to be there? There means here?
The symmetric material.
Right. Okay, so there is. I need to be more specific here. So we can have these types of electron and electron hole pockets. Okay? So
yeah,
that's what you're.
Could change the band structure, but
yes.
That band structure has to be there.
Yeah. Either like this, or like this. Yeah. So, I mean,
reversal, right? Break time reversal.
You mean that this quadratic band touching,
yeah.
Quadratic band touching should be
Fermi energy.
So, what? Okay. So, what is the question? So, quadratic band touching, presence of quadratic band touching is protected by cubic symmetry and time reversal, but Fermi level, something like this. Okay. Let's go back to here. So here, there's quadratic band touching. But Fermi level basically hit a max. There's an electron pocket and hole pocket here. And this is like this. Right. So, OK. But
so you're
same thing can happen in graphene. So even in graphene, we know there is this drop point. But somehow, let's try to tune or vary parameters T and T prime. And if T prime is much bigger than T, then it becomes metallic. It's not like this. Band structure is not like this. There is, again, hole pocket and electron pocket.
Yeah, I'm just saying that if there's no pockets away from the gamma point, then the Fermi level has to lie there.
Yes, that's true. Because we need both electron pocket and hole pocket. And then the volume of electron pocket and hole pocket should be the same.
But in Fermi, like this amount is neither.
Okay, so there are many issues in this experiment. So what I can tell you is that there is an ARPES experiment, and ARPES experiment can is basically measure this.
By the
Kampfer
data, it shows that it's
Why? So transport is a very nice experimental tool, but in terms of theory, it's very difficult to analyze. So for transport, we need to understand disorder effect more. So if we have this quadrupentachin, disorder effect is very non-trivial. So this relaxation mechanism for transport need to be studied.
So where are the actors near the Fermi? Fermi is not from the iridium, but from the
iridium. So this is the iridium band.
Iridium band.
Yeah, so this is the iridium band.
It's a, the other.
There is artist there, I can tell you. But it's not published yet. Harpers is hard, but
so,
you know, there are some amazing experimenters in the world. These
right.
Guys.
But it's not, well, I'm just saying that, nice to see the data.
Hmm?
It'd be nice to see the data to
I can tell you more about this a little more later, or not here. I guess this is recorded, so I cannot tell you more. Okay. Right, so. We look at the band structure and mineral model, and what I want to do is the we haven't finished this part yet. Okay, so we are gonna look at this band structure and mineral model. So I'm gonna use this perspective one more time. So here we have band structure, so DFT band structure, but this DFT band structure is complicated to me. So instead of this, I'm gonna use this simplified band structure. So here, at this touching point, there are four degenerate states, and they are quadratic band touching because it happens at the gamma point in Brillouin zone. And then we can approximate this band structure like this nice quadratic band touching. Even I assume particle hole symmetry for band structure, but I don't need to assume this particle hole symmetry, but for presentation, let's consider the simplest possibility. And one remark is that this band structure is kind of studied by Luttinger a long time ago. But important thing is this is a three-dimensional system, so it's nothing to do with this Luttinger liquid. So Luttinger studied this band structure in the context of semiconductors. But one crucial difference from the semiconductor physics is that in early days, Coulomb interaction is strong because it's made of d orbitals. Okay, so this is going to be my starting point. Then, effective Hamiltonian, one can write down like this. So there are only three parameters: alpha one, alpha two, alpha three. And with three parameters, I can describe this quadratic band touching basically. And as you can see, it's a quadratic. And J is a 4x4. You can ignore this angular part. 4x4. Matrices, because we are dealing with four state. So again, there are four state here. So this band structure requires 4x4 Hamiltonian at least. So if we focus on G direction, JG is basically diagonalized. So JG, we can choose like this and immediately draw this band structure. We can draw this band structure. Okay, this is very simple. So what I want to do is to add Coulomb interaction to this kinetic energy term. So basically this is band structure. So in a sense, this is a kinetic term. And this is the Coulomb. So I want to add this Coulomb interaction and try to see what happens with this Coulomb interaction effect. Okay? Obvious. So let's think about Coulomb interaction effect a little more seriously. So I'm going to do better estimation here. So since we have band structure, we know how kinetic energy scales, basically. So kinetic energy is a k squared because it's quadratic band touching. And we know Coulomb interaction is a scale as 1 over r. Then from the so we can use semi-classical approximation or approximation based on this Heisenberg uncertainty relation. So in the what Heisenberg uncertainty relation tells us that is for momentum, there is some length scale, which is associated with this momentum scale. So kinetic energy is scaled as 1 over r squared, and Coulomb interaction is scaled as 1 over r. And then at low energy physics, r goes to infinity limit. So Coulomb interaction again is much bigger than kinetic energy. Okay? So Coulomb interaction is very important. Coulomb interaction is dominant. So then we can ask some types of exotic phases are possible in this system. Then I'm going to try to answer this question. Before going further, let's try to compare with more familiar systems such as graphene at zero doping. And in graphene, we know kinetic energy scale as, is linear, this energy is scale as linear k. So without any Coulomb interaction, this is basically dispersion relation for kinetic energy. And we know for the Coulomb interaction, again, scale is 1 over r. Then based on this uncertainty principle, we know kinetic energy and Coulomb interactions are basically scaled in the same way. So then people usually call this is a marginal Coulomb interaction. And the consequence of this marginal Coulomb interaction is the velocity of this. So there is a velocity, hidden velocity here. And this velocity is renormalized. So they did RG calculation. And G is basically E, electric coupling constant. And then it's scaled to zero. But it's not just zero. There is some effect. The effect is the velocity is renormalized. So without Coulomb interaction, the band structure is like this. But once we include Coulomb interaction, the band structure becomes like this. So velocity is renormalized. So this is the graphene system. But what I want to say is that here, even similar kinetic energy, similar energy scale of kinetic energy and Coulomb interaction gives some modification. But in our case, Coulomb interaction is much stronger than kinetic energy. So we can expect something new happens. So it's a so there's a robot impression. Yeah. So one can so yeah, so in two dimension, Coulomb interaction is a mod k, not k squared, because of dimensionality. So E is not renormalized and V is renormalized. So this G square is basically E square over V. Yes. Velocity divergence. But our perturbation is controlled by G square. Experiments, yes. Not our path, though. Some little indirect way. So quantum oscillation experiment. There is a quantum oscillation experiment, and they try to extract velocity information from this quantum information. Quantum oscillation. Okay. So then let's try to do a little more work to understand better. The first thing we can do is try to calculate polarization function. So it's basically nothing but the density-density fluctuation. And so it's kind of famous linear type calculation. So I'm not going to tell you details of the calculation. Just I'm going to tell you the final result comparing with other systems. For the metallic cases, we know there are finite density of state. So Coulomb interaction in momentum space, it goes like this. There's k squared plus Thomas Fermi wave vector. So it means that Coulomb interaction is basically screened by this finite density of state. For the insulator, we know that dielectric constant is just renormalized. So it's still 1 over r, but there is dielectric constant change. But in our system, quadratic band touching, density of state is algebraic. Means that density of state is scaled as square root e. So it's 0 at zero energy. But because there is a gamma excitation, Coulomb interaction scale as qualitatively change. So it becomes 1 over q. So in real space, it becomes 1 over r square because momentum power drops 1 by 1. And then position power becomes increased by 1. The main message is that Coulomb interaction in 3D quadratic band touching is that it is screened, but still algebraic. So that's the a message here. So now we know there is a strong Coulomb interaction. So perturbation theory does not work because the Coulomb interaction is much bigger than kinetic energy. So then we can ask, how can we understand this system? So one hope is we can rely on numerics, but numerics is very difficult in this system because we are dealing with three-dimensional structure, and also we have long-range Coulomb interaction. So if one can do numerics, that would be amazing. But right now it's quite difficult, I guess. So then maybe we can try to do some RG type analysis. One motivation for this RG analysis is basically from the comparing kinetic energy and screen Coulomb interaction. So for the kinetic energy, we saw that it scales as 1/r². And in the previous slide, I showed that screen Coulomb interaction is also screened as 1/r² because I showed this 1/mod Q. Then in terms of in real space, it scales 1/r². So here, we have kinetic energy and screen Coulomb interactions basically behave in the same way. So we can do some RG calculation here safely. Right, so then let's try to do RG. So it's basically kind of extension of what we learn in STEMAC course. So we have Hamiltonian here, and instead of using Hamiltonian, we can do better calculation with the action. So there is a Hamiltonian, and phi, so I introduced the electric potential phi to describe long-range Coulomb interaction, and we can do usual scaling analysis. So Z, dynamic critical response, is introduced to describe this quadratic band touching, basically. So G is 2, and D is special dimensions. And so position scales like this, and time scales like this. Then one can show that E, electric coupling constant, is the scaling dimension of electric coupling constant is 1, which means that it's basically relevant. So this 1, is basically described our previous estimation here. So here, as you can see, kinetic energy and Coulomb interaction scales differently, and the difference is basically 1. And this 1 appears here. Then with this relevant coupling constant, we can use two methods, basically. One is epsilon expansion. The other one is a Lorentz expansion. To do RG, we need to evaluate three Feynman diagrams, basically. One is the fermion self energy, the other one is the vertex correction, another one is vertex correction, and the final one is the bosonic self energy. Okay? Then this guy linomerized, gives us wave function linomerization and the dynamic critical exponent linomerization. And this guy gives, basically modifies this vertex part, and this one gives me the bosonic anomalous dimension. Okay, so instead of giving you details of calculation, I'm going to present the final result. So if you're interested in calculation, we can discuss after this talk. So for the epsilon expansion, what we found is that beta function is basically like this. So here, G tilde is basically same as E. G is almost the same as E. Then there are two terms. So I did one loop calculation. In one loop calculation, there are two terms basically. So this is from this dimensional analysis. So in three special dimensions, it becomes 1. So n is positive. So this the first term basically describes this. This part. The second one, there is minus sign. Probably this minus sign is the most important sign in this talk. And so this minus sign basically describes this screening effect. With this quadratic band touching dispersion relation, there is always particle excitation. This particle excitation, quantum mechanically, screens the Coulomb interaction. Then if we solve this beta function, we will have the non-trivial fixed point. So this fixed point shows non-fermi liquid behavior. in a sense that all physical quantities receive anomalous dimensions. Okay. The one remark I want to make here is that this fixed point is basically protected by cubic and time reversal symmetry. So unless I break cubic and time reversal or cubic or time reversal symmetry, this fixed point, non-Fermi liquid fixed point, is stable. Okay. We did large N calculation. The final message is basically these two methods are consistent.
Mm-hmm. Do you have more slides to tell me?
No.
That's another question now. So how about if you spontaneously break cubic symmetry somehow, you are generating some terms and these blow you away from the...
Right. So if there is some on-site large interaction.
Yeah, because you generate those in RG.
Yes. So basically RG flow becomes... So RG basically, so this is the non-Fermi liquid fixed point, and if you add some on-site interaction, then RG is like this. So there is a quorum critical point, and this is the quorum critical phase. Phase or non-Fermi liquid. So if you tune some parameter, we can induce quantum phase tension. So usually this quantum phase tension gives us some symmetry breaking, like the time reversal or cubic symmetry. So we might open up a gap, or sometimes we might open, we might make some bar semi-metal also. So that's the, actually there are some slides for that, but.
There was a paper yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. Well, I wouldn't say it's difficult. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so what they did is epsilon expansion with n equal 1. So, I mean, so they, so they did some estimation. And their claim is that their estimation, based on these, their estimation, this two fixed point basically merges. Right, so that's their conclusion. Okay, it may not, so we don't know. So this calculation is based on large N or epsilon expansion, which means that whether we have large N or small epsilon, we can trust this calculation with a large N or small epsilon. Their estimation based on epsilon expansion at epsilon equal 1, right, so what the marginally relevant means is like this. So these two points, so their claim is that these two points basically merges like this. Yes. No. So I don't, I mean, I'm very good friend of Igor. I don't know why. I mean, he's expert on RG, so I don't know. So with the only epsilon expansion, epsilon equal 1, and one log calculation, we cannot say anything, basically. So there is a possibility, of course. So that's the reason why we need numerics. So numerics can tell us, but it's hard. So if Roser can do that, I'd be happy to see it. Right. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, it's possible. But okay, thank you. I mean, as a speaker, I think it's not very appropriate to say that. Yes, it's a request for you. Right. So let's think about implication of this calculation a little more. So to do that, we can compare with other systems like the monolayer graphene, bilayer graphene, quantum electrodynamics, or linear bisemi-metal. So the only thing changes, basically this part is changes. For the monolayer graphene, I use this notation 1-1 because x direction is linear, y direction is linear. Bilayer graphene 2-2 means that x direction is quadratic, y direction is quadratic. linear bar semi metal, everything's linear. And these two basically gives us this nice logarithmic correction with marginally irrelevant RG result. But what we found here is that what I argue is that in this material, you might realize the, this non-Fermi liquid fixed point. Right? So then one might ask, what happens if I break the symmetry of band structure, like the one direction is linear, but the other one is quadratic. In three dimension, 1, 1, 2 means that two direction is linear, second direction is quadratic. 2, 2, 1 is x, y direction is quadratic, g direction is linear. Then zero, so the question would be, is there any physical system which is described by this band structure? And what is the Coulomb interaction effect in this system? So probably I don't have time to describe this, but if you're interested, we can chat after this seminar. Right, so here what I claim is that ground state, so based on this RG calculation, ground state shows the quantum criticality. So without breaking any cubic or time reversal symmetry, system shows the quantum criticality. So if I measure any if I measure physical quantities, it shows algebraic behavior. And this criticality, again, is protected by the lattice symmetries. Another important remark is that this is the interacting quantum, quantum criticality in three special dimensions. In three special dimensions, usually quantum criticality is weakly correlated, but this is a strongly correlated quantum criticality. So for example, Hortzmann theory, or Pfeiffer field theory, Higgs-Yuga theory, everything is quantum critical is marginal at three special dimensions. And also one important thing is that this is a controlled calculation if I add, if I consider large N or epsilon expansion from the electron band structure. So there's typo, sorry. So this system describes non-Fermi liquid phase or quantum critical phase. In conventionally, to understand this quantum critical phase, what people did is try to fractionalize electron and start from this fractionalized band structure. But what we did here is we start from the electron band structure. In this sense, it's kind of interesting work, I would say. So this system shows a non-Fermi liquid behavior. In a sense, all physical quantities receive anomalous dimension. So if I measure dispersion relation by RPAS, then it's not two anymore because we are living in, we are staying, we are sitting on this non-interacting, it's interacting fixed point, interacting quantum critical point. So G is 1.7. This number might not be correct because it's only one loop calculation, but the important part is it's not two, or it's not three, or it's not one. Specific heat shows weird power, substability, nonlinear substability, anomalous swirl, everything shows different power. Some weird power. Okay. How much time do I have? 5 minutes, okay. So, right, so, yeah, so far we discussed the systems with the cubic symmetry and time reversal symmetry. And next step is the systems which breaks some symmetries. Say again. To control it as large as possible. I mean, to control the calculation, large, I mean, it's better to have a large N. So this question is basically go back to the Williams question. For the epsilon, I don't have for the large N estimation, for the large N method, I don't have a NC number.
Do you have an extended
regression to this? Yeah, so one can try to calculate one of our higher order calculations, and one can estimate that some C.
Because there are not so many kind of quantities, typically the
Okay, so unfortunately, in your material, NF is 1. Right. Right. Just this is 3+1D. I mean, there is always possibility which this method does not work. But you know, so in experiments, but they so there are two possibilities. I mean, there are many ways to address these issues and answer these issues. So this okay. First of all, experiments observe non-Fermi liquid behavior. I have slides for that. And so then, what is the origin of non-Fermi liquid physics? That's the one question we can ask. And so so what we are trying to say is that this might describe this non-Fermi liquid behavior, which observed in experiments.
I guess from the paper that William mentioned, and it's close to one.
Yeah, so in their estimation. No. Can we? If we can trust one loop calculation, okay, that's fine.
But it could have been worse.
Oh, sure. It could be much more worse, but right. So this is, I mean, I'm not telling this theory is correct for this praseodymium iridium oxide. So this, what I'm saying is that this is the one possibility which cannot explain. Experiments, and it seems this theory captures some other features which experimenters observed, like the anomalous, huge anomalous hole effect. We can discuss after the talk. So, by breaking the symmetries, if we break the cubic symmetry without breaking time reverse symmetry. What we observed is a topological insulator is obtained. And if we break the time reverse symmetry, then we find the Bar-Sigma matter is possible. Probably I should wrap up. Yeah, there are many slides. but what I want to mention, there are some, two things I want to mention. So one possibility is this linear Bar-Sigma matter, which is described by this linear band structure. And the other possibility is this one, this double Bar-Sigma matter. So two direction is quadratic and one direction is linear. So this phase can, this system can be a phase. So it's topologically protected and C4 rotation symmetry, but that's not, but this possibility, 1-1-2, kx, linear quadratic, is not possible as a phase. So this Hamiltonian only can describe quantum phase transition, not quantum particle phase. So this is the summary of phases. There are two kind of conventional phases, Fermi liquid, and this is an insulator, of course. And what we found is, so linear Bar-Sigma matter is possible as a phase. Double Bar-Sigma matter is a possible as a phase, again. Non-Fermi liquid is possible as a phase. And since they are phases, if we can, in principle, distinguish these phases by observing thermodynamic quantities. If I measure specific heat, then it shows a T linear here, exponentially suppressed. Linear Bar-Sigma matter shows T cubed. Double Bar-Sigma matter shows T squared. Non-Fermi liquid shows that one point something. Right. So this is the current situation in the experiment. So what I showed, what I consider in this talk is these three phases, basically non-Fermi liquid, Bar-Sigma matter, topological insulator. For the non-Fermi liquid phases, there are some evidence for this non-Fermi liquid behavior from Satoru's group. Bar-Sigma matter, Tokura's group shows, I mean, they claim they observe Bar-Sigma matter. But we need more experiments. Topological insulator is not observed yet. So we need more samples and more proofs for this to pin down these phases. This one, or this one, this one. Non-Fermi liquid. So they measure this. Susceptibility. Susceptibility. Yeah. And even ARPES, okay, I can tell you more about ARPES. ARPES data shows pretty broad peak, but I don't know how much.
Roti.
Yes, of course.
Probably you would have
problems. The problem is that resolution of their instrument is not that good, so they cannot tell it's a quadratic or, I mean, it's, they cannot tell it's a 2 or 1.9, 1.7, they cannot tell. Right, so let me finish this talk by acknowledging my collaborators. So with Shenke, Yongbek, Leon, we studied this non-parametric phases, published in PRL, and so we are preparing another paper. Hopefully it's come out soon. And with Japanese guys and so with Lu, so she did DFT calculation. Then we studied this phase transition between insulator and non-parametric grid and ARPES data, ARPES experiment. With Lucille, we studied the quantum phase transition. So these are basically phases. So we can consider spontaneous symmetric breaking, phase transition between these two phases. And we studied this phase transition. With Bumjong and Naoto, we studied this phase transition. So this is my conclusion. So I mainly focus on non-parametric behavior, but if you're interested, in, yeah, I'll be happy to chat after this talk. Thank you for your attention.
For this non-parametric, supposedly we have a calculation for this, like omega dependence of the optical.
Yes, there is. Optical data is not that good in porcelain medium oxide. One over omega. Okay, this non-parametric liquid behavior is a little different from other conventional non-parametric liquid because we don't have Fermi surface here.
Yeah, but that's not the.
Yeah, maybe we should chat after this. I mean, I haven't considered the large omega. So what I consider is small omega region. Yeah, I mean, I think we should chat. So I don't know what is the argument for this one over omega. But still, there is a Fermi surface. I mean, this non-parametric behavior is associated with Fermi surface. Okay. Yeah, maybe you can teach me. I haven't thought about this one for omega. Yeah, first of all, there is no experiment.
Why?
You shouldn't ask me this question. Probably there are some experiments, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure some of experimenters have data, but.
So this whole package in relevance to present and memory day, you, what's being said here about the mechanism of the present ion is completely ignored?
That's a very good question. So far I only focus on iridium atom and we didn't consider A side. So A side is basically localized. F like, so proscenium has a local moment. So it's a non-Kramer's doublet. Then this proscenium, so, but the problem of this A side is it forms the pyrochore structure. So there is a spinized physics there. Then next interesting research project would be try to couple this A side and B side quantum mechanically. So there is some crash card calculation. Yeah, so Kondo temperature. So here, if it is non-parametric, then there is no Fermi surface. So Kondo temperature.
No, but just a weak coupling calculation with the band structure, like NKK wide type calculation, because is it in the ballpark of 20 Kelvin where are these temperatures?
Yeah, so what people believe is that this temperature. This temperature, I mean, so, okay, go ahead, please. Yeah, this is, I mean.
The exotic behavior in the field,
yeah. Right, so, but there is magnetization. So there is a freezing temperature. Yes. So yeah, so this is a very small temperature. Yeah, so that's the interesting part. That's very interesting.
I was asking about what happens at 10 Kelvin.
10 Kelvin, so here.
On the right side.
Here. Right, so
I'm just asking, you guys are just moving, just ignoring that.
Yes, so in my current calculation, so we ignore A site. So that's a fair answer, yes.
So what happens to yttrium immediately? It's an estimator, right?
Yes, yes, correct. Yttrium has a huge magnetic gap, actually.
What about yttrium immediately? Does that exist?
Right, so this is a yttrium. So people try to study this material, neodymium. But still there is a magnetization. So what people try to do is they try to measure some physical quantities around this point. Yeah, so this is the mass transition, but it's associated with the magnetism. So neodymium, they know what ordering, what type of ordering is there. So it's all in. Lanthanum iridate, in reality, I mean, in DFT, yeah.
Real reality, yeah.
Right inside of the president. No. But we can calculate DFT calculation. We did.
Okay.
Yes. But there is a tendency for this. So what we did is basically what Lu did is she changes all this material and try to get this band structure. And there is a tendency for this, for the parametric base. But unfortunately, there is no lanthanum. There is. I don't have one right now. And specific heat. For proscenium iridium oxide. I think I have the data in my notebook. So wait a second. He tried to ask questions for a while. Yes, that's also possible. Doping, you mean? Chemical potential.
Small pocket, right? So how will that change your scenario? Is it like a crossover temperature at lower temperature?
Yeah, that's the most natural scenario. So depending on this doping, if you doped, then there is a Fermi surface. Then this size of Fermi surface basically determines the energy scale of crossover. Another possibility is that this doping might induce another quantum criticality, which is more exotic scenario. I'm studying that also. That's your next step. So anomalous hole is So this system I guess you already know this anomalous hole effect. So this is to have anomalous hole effect, we need to break time universal symmetry. That's for sure. So then if I have large time universal symmetry breaking phase, then what we can do is basically we can go beyond, so this is basically symmetric breaking term for this non-Fermi liquid physics. So we can add, we can do some mean field type calculation. So we assume the time-universal symmetric breaking term as a finite number and try to calculate band structure, and then try to measure how much anomalous Hall effect appears. So another way to say this is that we can start from the bisimilar model, which I didn't explain here. But the important thing is this bisimilar model, there are two bar points. These two bar points basically associate, is basically induces a huge anomalous Hall because there is a non-trivial. So this is a topological phase. So there is a surface state, non-trivial surface state. And this surface state is, we can estimate how much surface states are there. And because we start from the kind of quadratic band touching, so the exponent, so energy scale for this momentum is basically like this. And then we need to compare magnetization. Okay? And then Kw is scaled as h to the 0.5 because of this energy scale. And sigma h is proportional to the length between two bar points, and it's scaled as h to the 0.5. So you can consider this h as m, kind of. So as small h or small m, it's much bigger than usual anomalous Hall signal. Right. So this is basically crude estimation, yeah. Right? But for small h, this system is near the non-Fermi liquid fixed point. So there is a anomalous dimension here.
Did
this have estimated or not? We did estimation, right? So in epsilon expansion, it's not that big. Yeah. Large n expansion, we didn't do that. It's large n is much more difficult in terms of calculation. Right, so yeah. Right, so disorder effect is important, and one can try to do some replica method. So this is a theoretical question, right? Yeah, so let me. Right, so we can add disorder, then we can do some RG with disorder and Coulomb interaction. Of course, it's much more difficult. And it's not well controlled, of course. We find some non-trivial fixed point, but I mean, I had the result for a year, but there is no way to justify the calculation. So we are gonna publish something, but I'm not sure how reliable this calculation will be. But we can try to do, at least what I can say is that for special dimension, we can control the calculation, even for the disorder. But in three dimensional, it's very difficult. So there is an interacting disordered phase in one loop calculation, which I cannot. Well, I mean, depends. So disorder itself is a relevant operator in three special dimensions. So which means I have two relevant operators, electric coupling, electric charge, and then disorder strength. So then when we have two relevant operator, usually we cannot control the calculation. It's difficult. I mean, you can imagine this. It's, yes. In that sense, one of n is not, I mean, I don't know, maybe Songxi can control this calculation. But so far I haven't succeeded. I try, but I haven't succeeded with the disorder calculation.
But the point is that it's quite sensitive.
The disorder is relevant. Yeah, disorder is relevant. So we need, to see this physics, we need a single crystal. So that's related to the question you asked for the transport. I'm sorry? Yes. Right. So these Japanese guys try to improve their crystals a lot. And this summer I visited there, and yeah, they told me some difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
if there is a right. So what I can tell you is that where is it? Here. Right. So this low temperature, what this experiment found is that it goes up. It's not like this. It's not like Fermi liquid. So they found it goes up, but this the temperature which where it goes up depends on sample. So, probably very small, roughly I don't know. Like the probably less than 1 Kelvin, I think. Well, order of 1 Kelvin, I guess. I mean, they didn't show me the data. Yeah, I think there are lots of experiments, but so again, so there are many issues in experiments. So this issue is also there for cesium 80 oxide. So they try to make the cleanest and very controlled sample, but yeah, they are trying. I cannot blame them.